Some of you know that in my earlier years when I came down here that I was an avid pilot. I had my own airplane. And there are some principles of flying that I want to outline for you here. My flight instructor was an old alcoholic who was a basic training instructor back during World War II. And when he taught me how to fly, I learned the old way. I did not learn by the new means that flyers today learn how to fly. I never landed on a hard runway, paved runway, during all of my early instruction days, because my instructor came out of the old school and he said that if you land on the pavement, it burns up the tires on the airplane. So instead of landing on the runway, if this represents the runway, well, we would land on the grass alongside the runway. So I got all of my experiences in landing in grass so that we didn't chew up the tires of the airplane. Because he was always pointing out those little rubber skid marks on the end of the runway. And he says, now that's what it does to your tires, so you always land on the grass. And even after I got my private license, was flying all of the United States, there would still be a tendency to fly into a strange airport. Instead of landing on the runway, I'd land on the grass over there, which we had some great conversations with the people in the towers on occasion when I did that. But the other thing is that I never learned how to fly a plane with a tricycle landing gear. Not until many years after I began to fly did I ever take off or land in a plane that had a tricycle landing gear. That all the planes that I flew were the old tail dragger type. And so I had owned a series of airplanes, all of them with a tail wheel, because I just didn't like the idea of flying in a newfangled plane with a nose wheel. I could always picture having to make an emergency landing on one of those things and seeing that nose wheel cave in, and how much better it was to fly with a tail wheel that you could always drag the tail in. At least it would keep the plane from flipping over. And it is. It's a very good safety factor, by the way. But there are liabilities in flying tail draggers. And one of them is that when you're on the ground, you can't see where you're going. Because the nose of the plane is always stuck up at an angle. And so if you're flying an airplane with a tail wheel, that's the propeller out in front, wheels down like this, and you're sitting in the cockpit, you never can see over the nose of that crazy thing. And so you don't do normal taxi procedures when you're flying an airplane that has a tail wheel. Instead of taxiing straight down the runway, you taxi at an angle. And if you're starting out, and this is the main runway here, and you start out from the hangar over here, you taxi as a sailboat would tack into the wind, back and forth across the runway, so that you can see out of the side window of the plane, because you never can see over the nose of the thing. Now, the faith run is very similar to this, and I want you to follow me for just a minute, because when you begin to make your walk in faith, God has shaken your life, and you begin to realize that I cannot continue on the way I have been going. And you begin to make your walk of faith. It's always a zigzag kind of experience. Very few people step right out and say, that's the way God wants me to go, and they go straight for it like that. You don't go straight for it because you can't see it. And so you have to go at angles, back and forth. And to everybody who's watching you, it looks like you're the weirdest kind of preacher there is. You're wandering all over the runway. You're going back and forth. You're always heading towards disaster. There's a cliff over here at the side of the runway. There's a building over here. There's a vine patch over here. You're always heading in there, and then you get right to the edge, and you turn, and you come back in the other direction so you can see out the other window. But you're always making progress to get out here to the end of this runway where you're going to sit with your airplane for the takeoff. But the only way you can get there is to go by various angles. Now, don't be afraid of that kind of taxi procedure. It's far better to taxi at strange positions and in strange angles than it is just to stay back in the hangar all the time. God is calling His people to move. And if you don't have a clear picture of where you're going, move anyway. But don't stay behind, because somebody's going to come along and break your bottles if you don't get out of the hangar. And so he's calling us, even if we can't see over the nose of where we're going, even if you can't see down the runway, to at least be willing to make intermittent steps like this. My friend Ben Slaughter is here this morning, and Ben knows what I'm talking about because his life has been lived this way for the last several years. Ben, let me read his resume. And he has gone to back and forth to the edge of the runway I don't know how many times, trying to get out there on the runway off the taxi strip. And many of us are like that career-wise. And you will say, God has finally given me direction. This is the way I'm supposed to go. And you'll rev the motor up and take off over there, and before you know it, you're right at the end of the runway, and the only way to do it is to turn around and go back in the other way. And then you've got to come back and swallow all of your pride and say, God has finally given me new direction, men. I'm to go this way. And you get over here, and suddenly there's the end of the runway, and the only way you can get out to where you're going is to turn and go back. Now, hopefully, you're making progress. You're not just turning around and going back and forth. And I've got some people who've done that. They don't ever get out here off the taxi strip. They just go back and forth back here. In fact, there's a number of them that have fallen off this place into a very deep hole, and all they're doing is down there revving their engine. Dust and debris and that kind of thing, and they think they're flying, but they're really not. They're in a very deep hole off the edge of the taxiway. And so you're making progress until you get out here to the end of this thing. And then you've got the runway stretched before you. But even then, the faith walk is an entirely different kind of thing than most of us would expect it to be. We would expect it to be that you get out there, all you do is push the throttle forward, and away you go. But it's not that easy, especially if you're like I am and you're a tail dragger. And you just don't quite have the vision to see down the runway like the big jet pilots have. And so when you take off down the runway, there's a very exciting period in a tail dragging airplane that's called the faith run by pilots, where for about the first 30 or 40 seconds, you can't see where you're going. All you know is that straight ahead of you is the runway and that it's safe out there. There's nothing, hopefully, that has crossed it or is sitting in the middle of it. It's safe out there. And you push the throttle all the way to the firewall, all the way forward, and then you just sit there and wait while that little plane gains speed. Now, I did my early flying in a little Piper Cub that has a tandem seat. You sit in the back seat if you're in there alone, and you can't see over anything, nothing. You got the front seat in front of you, and then that big cowling that's sticking out there, and you don't see anything in front of you. All you can see is things flashing by on the side. You've got the throttle all the way forward. You know the runway is out there, and you're just rolling on faith. That's all. Someplace down there, you're going to become airborne. But airplanes, of course, are not meant to be used on the ground. They're meant to be used in the air, and so they're designed to be airborne things, and so they're very awkward on the ground, but you're rolling on faith. And then comes a time about 100 yards down the runway where you enter into a very exciting little experiment. Now, those of you who know anything about flying, you know that that if you pull the stick back, it lowers the elevator and puts the airplane into a climbing position. If you want to put the airplane into a diving position, you push the stick forward, or the yoke, or whatever it may be that you're flying with. And going down the runway, here you've built up your speed, and you're now going 50 or 60 miles an hour, 50 miles an hour down the runway, and a little flimsy plane with great big wings out on the side like this. And you reach this spot down here, you've still got your tail in a tail-down position. You do a very little exciting thing, and that is you push the stick forward. Up until this time, you've held it back. You get into that little position, and you push the stick forward, and every instinct within you says the minute you push the stick forward, you're going to nose that thing over into the ground at 50 miles an hour. Because that's what happens when you put that, puts the plane into a dive position. But what happens is that when you act on faith and push the stick forward, it raises the tail. It doesn't send the nose down. It just picks the tail up, and suddenly you can see. And so by a little gentle pressure forward, the tail is up, and suddenly you're in a flying position. And from that position, the plane takes off automatically. You don't have to do anything. It'll just fly itself right into the air. And then you begin to ease back gently on the stick and you gain altitude. But if you do as many of us do, especially in our spiritual lives, once you begin your faith run and you get very, very tight and you pull the stick back and hold it back into your lap like that, then a very strange thing takes place. You are immediately airborne. Tenseness will immediately thrust you up like that. The problem is that the moment you're airborne, you're in a stalling position and you crash. You get up and you're down. I don't know whether you've ever had that kind of spiritual experience. It always goes with stress and with tenseness and of trying to help God out and of trying to get yourself up in the air before God wants you up in the air. Sometimes it takes a very long run down the runway before you're able to be airborne. And the moment you pull that stick back on the ground, you put yourself in that terribly dangerous attitude of the attitude of the stall. There must be a willingness on our part to cooperate with God.